Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
Welcome back to Revive. It's your girl, POC. Welcome back to a winning Wednesday here on Revive. Yes, indeed, it is a winning Wednesday here on Revive. I am pumped up. I have so much energy for you guys today. Once again, this is your girl, POC, host of Revive. We are live on Time for an Awakening .com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also tune into us at timeforanawakening/revive. I'm sorry. But also you can go to the TuneIn app and you can search Time for an Awakening and just search Time for an Awakening. You will hear me, your girl POC, each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Yes, I got so much energy for you guys today. Also, shout out to the Revive team, Harmony the Goddess, and also True Heart for being in the building today and just helping this Revive platform thrive each and every time we get on the mic. I'm excited to be back on the mic. Once again, I was not here this past Sunday because of Father's Day. Shout out to my father and also all the fathers out there. I hope you guys had a great Father's Day. I actually had an enjoyable Father's Day. I spent Father's Day with my sister and also my dad. We just hung out. We did what he wanted to do. That was the crazy part because we had a whole day planned. But this time he was like, nah, I don't care about what y'all got planned. I'm going to do what I want to do because it's Father's Day. So you guys are going to hang out with me. So that's exactly what we did. We hung out with him. We went to go get some great food. I had fried mussels for the first time. It was some real good food. We're all from the DMV area. So, you know, Maryland, when you in Maryland, they do it big when it comes to seafood. So I had some fried mussels. I had some oysters. We had clams. We had some shrimp. We had a great and enjoyable time together. We had great conversations. At the end of the night, he was like, yo, if you don't shut up. I was like, nah, I got something to say. So I definitely appreciate it. Shout out to you, Daddy. I love you. Definitely do. And also, we hung out with his friends, too. I think that was one thing that made the day even special because he brought us around his friends. His friends embraced us. Definitely his friends embraced us. They want to have conversation with us. They converse with us. We were able to talk about different things that they're doing in their life. I didn't know. My dad has friends that do IT. My dad has friends that do construction, electricity. It's so many different things. And I honestly didn't know that because he never allowed us to, you know, come in his space and actually hang out with him in his space. So the fact that we got to hang out with him and also hang out with his friends this past Sunday, it was a great time. And I enjoyed every single moment of it. Definitely. Trueheart, how was your Father's Day?
My Father's Day was definitely enjoyable. I wasn't able to make it to New York. That's actually where my father resides, along with my grandma and my other father's side of the family. So I wasn't able to do it. However, we talked on the phone. I sent him a gift and a card. So it was enjoyable. It was definitely relaxing, but it was exciting to see all the beautiful fathers on my timeline as well. So it was an enjoyable Father's Day.
And I saw your tweet talking about all these daddies look fine. How are you going to keep talking about somebody's father look fine, though? That's just so inappropriate. You got to know that's inappropriate.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so definitely shout out to all the fathers. Shout out to all the fine fathers, too. Definitely, because it was I had a great Father's Day, definitely. Oh, you playing, talking about you want a stepmother. Oh, you playing, nah. Nah, we don't condone this here on Revive. We don't condone this. It's like, nah, I'm good. But yes, definitely. Also, yo, you guys, I'm trying to get 1,000 followers. I know I said this all the time. I am trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter. I'm getting close. I need 200 of you guys to go ahead and click that blue button and turn it green. You know what happens when you turn it green? It starts to look like money. Definitely. So go click that blue button and turn it green. Let's go cash out together. Definitely. So go follow the Revive platform on Twitter at Revive_POC. Also on Facebook at Revive_POC. We're trying to get our Facebook followers up too. But on Twitter, that's my thing. I love Twitter. Yo, I really dislike when people talk bad about Twitter. I'm like, yo, you got Twitter? Follow me right now. And they're like, no, you got a Snap? How is that a comeback? If I ask you for a Twitter, your Twitter handle, and you ask me for my Snap, how is that a comeback? It has no comparison. We're talking about words. We're talking about information. We're talking about news. We're talking about facts. And you gonna ask me for my Snap? How is that? Like, you know what I mean? That does not compare.
They want it for the filters.
No, I'm not sitting here up. I'm not up here sitting trying to take pictures. I'm trying to inform the people. I'm trying to educate the people. I'm trying to re-educate the people. Don't. It's not about that, though. It's not about the filter. It's about the information. If I'm sitting up here talking business with you, how are you going to start talking about Snapchat? It has no comparison. What is wrong with my generation, man? I swear. But I can go to someone who's not particularly in my generation, be like, yo, you got Twitter? They'd be like, yeah. But if I go to somebody in my generation, be like, nah, I don't got no Twitter. I don't remember the last time I tweet. I got an account, but I ain't use it yet. That's not cool. Twitter is the wave, honestly. If you want to know what's going on in this world, follow the real Donald Trump, because he's always tweeting. He's the tweet president of the world right now. So how can you not have a Twitter and all your president does is Twitter? All your president do is Twitter. I'm sorry. If all your president do is go on Twitter and tweet, how can you not have a Twitter? That doesn't make sense. But you got a Snapchat. I don't think Donald Trump got a Snapchat. If Donald Trump got Snapchat, send me the link, the handle, whatever, on my Twitter at Revive_POC. And while you on my Twitter, make sure you go follow us as well, because we try and get 1,000 followers before June 30th. So I got a little bit of time to get a lot of people. So let's get it done. Let's definitely get this done. I'm going to keep pushing this each and every day here on Revive, because I want to achieve my goal. When I set a goal for myself, I make sure that I achieve my goal. I don't stop until I achieve my goal. I'm a very persistent person. I'm not going to say I get what I want, but I go after what I want. I work for what I want. I work hard for what I want. I make sure that I align myself so I can get what I'm looking for. I can get what I'm speaking into existence each and every day. Definitely. And you know what? Also, Terrell, guess what? Today was the first day of summer. And you know, I had some Ritas. What you do on the first day of summer? I was like, yo, I need some water ice, and I'm going to be good. And that's exactly what I did. I got some water ice. Shout out to Harmony, the goddess, for bringing the water ice through. I appreciate you. So that's what I was looking forward to on the first day of summer, is making sure I get some water ice. What you do on the first day of summer?
My air conditioner was just pumping today. I was hot. I was sweating on my blog, sweating on my press, but that air conditioner was popping, and it was just lovely. And I got me a 44-ounce cup of ice from Wawa, which I do throughout all the seasons. So I guess that's not necessarily special, but I'm definitely looking forward to all the events and the community service, just everything that's popping off with Summer 17.
You talking about air conditioning?
No,
it wasn't that. I'm talking about, like, what you do on the first day of summer. Of course, we already know it's going to be hot, but I'm saying, like, did you make it a, you know, something to remember? Like, this is summer 17. We've been talking about summer 17 since winter 17.
Believe me, it was memorable in more ways than one.
So we're going to hear about it on the Truth Series? What's the Truth Series about today?
The Truth Series is entitled Growing Pains. So if you are just in an uncomfortable, a stuck situation, you do not want to miss the Truth Series coming to you live on Revive. So definitely stay tuned. This is an episode you do not want to miss. If you want to know more about me and why I started Higher Level Communication, my motivation for starting Higher Level Communication, and why to keep it going, and just life experiences that have caused me to grow up, and a different pain I had to go through, I'm telling you guys, you don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
And that's exactly what Neo says. You got to let them know your why. What's your why? You got to give them your why. So I'm ready to hear what you about to say.
And you'll find out a little bit more about how I spent my first day of summer.
Yeah, all right. We're going to hear about it, definitely. So definitely stay tuned to the Truth Series coming up here on Revive. Once again, we are live at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to Tune In and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear me, your girl, POC. Also, join in. Don't be scared. Do not be scared. Join in on the conversation, 215-490-9832. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear from the audience. Once again, Revive is for the people. We want to bring back communication. We're trying to bring back the power of communication so you can understand that communication is the key to the unity that we're looking for. Definitely. So here in Revive, we're going to touch on that. But once again, today's show, I just started talking. I just went straight in. But I am going to tell you what today's show is. Today's show is entitled Students Versus Loans. I've been accepted. Yes, we all know how it feels to have student loans. And if you're just graduating from high school, you will know how it feels to have student loans in a minute if you plan on going to get a higher education. Definitely. So stay tuned. Today, we're going to have a jam-packed show. We have some great guests coming on the line who's just going to educate us on the student loan process as well as the repayment process. You know, if you know what a forbearance is right now, give me a call and explain it to me. If you know what a deferment is right now, give me a call and explain it to me. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. One thing that I'm finding out is not a lot of people know what that is. So that's why we are going to talk about it here today on Revive.
Unfortunately, people are more familiar with default and bad credit scores. So let's talk about it.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Default, credit scores, and interest rates. Interest rates, because that is all we definitely hear when it comes to the student loan, and we know the numbers by heart. We know the when they call and we know the numbers by heart now, especially if this is like your second or third year out of school. You definitely know that number by heart, like, yo, they calling me again. They know I don't got no money. I'm not running them no check this month. Call me next month. Man, definitely. So when it comes to these student loans, we are going to talk about it here on Revive because we want to educate you guys on how to handle the student loan process as well as the repayment process as well. But before we get started on that, I do want to get into some what's buzzing because I am upset. I am extremely upset about what's going on with this Philando Castile story. So I'm going to talk about it here on What's Buzzing.
What's Buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as What's Buzzing? What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
So, on What's Buzzing, I'm going to talk about this Philando Castile story. Once again, another officer got away with murder. Once again, another officer got away with murder. I am not okay with this. I am not okay with this at all. This is painful. This is hurtful. If you guys don't feel this out here, like if you're out there and you do not feel the pain of the fact that Officer Geronimo Yanez walked away scot-free for killing Philando Castile in Minnesota almost a year ago. It happened July 6, 2016. Almost a year ago, this man lost his life. He would never be able to tell his story. And Officer Yanez walked scot-free. True heart. Like, I mean, he walked out of the courtroom smiling, knowing that he's going to get back pay. Back pay that us American citizens pay, because we pay taxes each and every day that we go to work. He's going to get all that tax dollar back in pay. Like, it's hard for me to understand what's really going on. How in the world are these cops continuously getting away with murder? How in the world is the statement or the phrase, I was afraid for my life. I was a scared. I was scared for my life. It's going. How is that going to continue to happen? How is that going to continue to be something that allows these officers to get away with murder? They don't have to. They don't have to go to jail. They don't have. They don't have to pay $200. They don't have to pay the bank. They don't have to do anything. This is not Monopoly. This is the real world. This is what's going on right now. And he's not the only one who's getting away with murder. Betty Shelby got away with murder. The two officers who killed Alton Sterling got away with murder. The two officers that killed Tamir Rice got away with murder. The six officers that killed Freddie Gray in Baltimore got away with murder. The list can go on and on and on. It's like, welcome to the genocide up in here. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's very frustrating to know that all they have to say is, I was afraid for my life. But the thing that really makes me upset, or the thing that really just goes off in my head, is like, how are you afraid for your life when you gave your life to protect and serve the people? You gave your life. When you swore in that Bible, when you put your hand up in the air and said, I will protect and serve these people, you gave your life. That means you put your life on the line to protect and serve. So how are you afraid for something that you already gave up? How are you getting away with saying, I didn't mean to kill him. The only reason why I shot my weapon or discharged my weapon is because I was scared. How are you scared when you're trained to kill? How are you scared when you're trained to de-escalate? How? It's really bothering me to know that driving while black is a crime. Walking while black is a crime. It's really bothering me. And then to think that they don't even take mental health into consideration with any of these problems. They need to check their officers for mental health. Honestly, they really need to check their officers for mental health. Because in my mind, if you're on the line of duty, that's just like how people in the Army, the Navy, and all that get PTSD. Because they're in the front line all the time. They're seeing so many tragic situations, so many dramatic situations going on, that it clouds their judgment. It clouds the way that they're thinking. So why don't we take that into consideration when it comes to our officers, the people who patrol our streets? Why don't we take that into consideration? We've been talking about the problem the entire time, but what is the solution? Solutions is not body cams. Solution is not dashboard cams. Solution is not audio feed. Solution is not a citizen going up there to testify about something that they saw. A solution is not me standing back like, oh, I see an officer pressing this young man or pressing this young lady out. Let me go ahead and get my camera out and record it just in case anyone wants to know what happened. That's not a solution anymore. Why? Because video footage, pictures, and a dead body mean nothing. Mean nothing. Because all the cases that I just named, we had video footage. We had pictures. We had witnesses. They mean nothing. They meant nothing. Because at the end of the day, these people are still not going to be able to have their day in court. They're still not going to be able to let their story be heard through their own mouths. They're not able to get that. They're not able to get that day in court. Why? Because they're dead. Why they're dead? Because officers were afraid for their lives after they already gave up their lives. If someone can explain that to me, please give me a call, because I don't understand. It's really tragic. Like this what's going on is really true heart. How you feel?
I'm so heartbroken, and I'm broken. I'm so heartbroken, and I'm tired of talking about this. Honestly, not necessarily in the Philando Castile case, but every time we hear about or we see a Black Lives Matter post, as a community, as a human race, as people, we pray and we hope that that's the last one. And society, the justice system, and the people taking our tax dollars every single day prove it, that it's not the last one. So you talk about mental health. We're suffering from PTSD as a community. And it's not just Black people. It's not. Because if you're in tune and you're in touch and you have a heart, honestly, let's really talk about it. If you have a heart, you're going to see that right is right and wrong is wrong. For him to get away scot-free, now you're a free man. But Diamond, his fiance, has to live with PTSD because she saw her fiance shot. That four-year-old little girl will never be the same. Cops don't have any justice or any remorse because they'll kill you in front of your children. How is this even possible? How does a judge, 9 times out of 10, the trajectory of a judge is, you know, to serve, to be a lawyer, and then run for judge. How are you even a legal person, a legal employee of the justice system or judicial system, and you can't see that this is wrong? How is this even possible? So you talk about voting. Okay, sure, we can definitely, you know, go cast our vote. But, I mean, the November election, let's talk about it, has proven that no matter the popular vote, I mean, they're going to put in there that they want to, who they want. So it's just like, can you really have faith in the judicial system? I feel like the society in our country only really likes black people when they're winning the U.S., when they're running for the U.S. and they're winning gold. That's the only time that black people are put on this pedestal. But every other days within the year, it's boom, back to reality. They constantly remind us that you are beneath us. And it's not even white cops killing black people. Geronimo Yanez was clearly not white. But he got the opportunity to hide behind a uniform. He got the opportunity to be a coward. And you know what? Well, my gun is bigger and stronger, so I'm going to prove to you that I'm the man of this situation. In an open carry state? I'm confused. So one death has a residual effect, and it's affecting not only the people that were directly at the scene of the crime, but it's affecting everyone who hears the story. How can you give birth to a son or a daughter and not be afraid? Because they may have a little bit more melanin than the average person. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. And I'm the type to go to the marches. I'm the type to, you know what, no justice, no peace. I'm the type. But I'm also the type to go to those discussions as well. So where do we go from here? Because we cannot continue to put our faith in a justice system who continuously tells us, hey guys, no matter what you do, it's not enough. And at the end of the day, the power lies in the judge. The power lies in the jury. It's just so disheartening and so frustrating. I apologize for going on a rant, but it's just literally sets my soul on fire.
You don't gotta apologize. That's what we're here to do, honestly, because I feel you on that. I definitely feel you on that. When it comes to our justice department, it's a problem. Who's picking these jurors? Who's picking these jurors? Honestly, are they pandering to a certain community? Because it's so many questions that I have. How can you say that this man did nothing wrong? He did nothing wrong. And then the dash cam video footage was released after he was acquitted of all charges, of course. So the video cam was released, and it shown less than 2 minutes of the officers arriving on scene. He was dead. And then when he tried, you can even see on the Facebook Live video, this has nothing to do with the dash cam, when you see on the Facebook Live video, he's like gasping for air. And he's literally, Officer Yanez is standing in the window screaming instead of calling for help, calling for backup, making sure that an ambulance is arriving on scene. He's not even doing his training, because I'm sure they get CPR training. I'm sure they get, wounded training when you hold the bullet hold to make sure blood stop coming out. Anything. It's some kind of training that they went through to make sure that they can revive people. Honestly, let's talk about it. So for this officer to not get anything, I mean, once again, a four-year-old child was in the back seat. Anything could have happened to that four-year-old child. But then let's think about it. In Seattle, Washington, a young woman was just murdered by police officers. And then to answer your question, how do we adjust? It's like, yo, she called them for help. She called them with, you know, suspecting a possible robbery. She called them. Charlene Lowes, yes. She called them out of Washington, Seattle, Washington, I'm sorry. She called them, and they came. They arrived on scene. And when they arrived on scene, they saw her with a knife in her hand. Anybody who has a mind or a brain, if you are suspecting a robbery, you will pick up some kind of weapon. Whether it's a stick, whether it's a pole, whether it's a hammer, whether it's a bat. You will pick up something to protect yourself. So for the officers to see her with a knife in her hand should not be unusual. If she's calling saying, I think someone's robbing my home, what is she supposed to do? You know what I mean? So the fact that you've seen her with a knife in her hand and you suspected that to be unusual is a problem to me. How, Sway? How? I really want to understand how. And then, yes, so then tapes did come out. Audio tapes came out. Also videotapes, but the videotapes were just showing her residence. It wasn't showing from the dash cam of the police car. It was just the dash cam literally facing directly to her apartment building. And then another video came out in the hallway of the apartment. But you couldn't really see anything because the officers were in the apartment. So all you can see is them backing up towards the hallway. But this is after she's already gone. You know what I mean? This is after she's already been shot multiple times with her kids in the home. So you have no remorse. You have no remorse. You have no empathy. Because you shot her with her kids in the home. And then you have to look at this. If you guys are following the story, you can definitely see she's less than 120 pounds. She was 5 months pregnant. 5 months pregnant. If you look at this story, you can tell that this woman was pregnant. And you still shot her? So you have no remorse for the unborn either? It's really bothering me. It's really honestly bothering me. Because, like I said, what's the solution? I'm tired of talking about problems. What's the solution? People say that the dash cams and the body cams are the solution. No, it's not. How the hell is it the solution? I can name about 6 people who are gone that we have footage for. Terrence Clutcher, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Tamir Rice. We have a little bit of video from Sandra Bland in the jail cell, who they quote-unquote say hung herself with a trash bag, which would never make sense to me. Never make sense to me. Because they don't even put trash bags in the jail. In the cells. Like, it's impossible for me to believe that one. And then it's hard for me to trust my Justice Department as well, because if you think about it, the reason why Philando was stopped is because he, quote unquote, looked like a suspect who did an armed robbery the day before or 2 days before. But he wasn't that person. He wasn't that criminal. He was a supervisor in a public school cafeteria. He was working for the youth to make the youth better so they can have a better life. So he was stopped based off a lie stating that, oh, your taillight is out. Your taillight is broken. So now do we stop every time we leave the house to get in our car? Do we do a whole maintenance routine? Do we do a whole maintenance check to make sure we do get a routine, quote unquote, stop that, you know, we know for a fact our tail lights aren't broken? Our brake lights aren't out? Like, it's crazy. This man lost his life over a lie. Geronimo Yanez lied to him and said, we stopped you for your brake lights. His brake lights was not out, and he lost his life. He was shot 7 times with a seatbelt on. This man had his seatbelt on. Before he can even part his lips to say, I'm not taking it out, his life was gone. His life was gone. Mind you, Minnesota is an open carried state. He had his license on him. Where's the NRA now? Why is the NRA not speaking up right now? He followed all the guidelines, all the procedures, all the protocols. If you're stopped, announce it. He announced it, and he lost his life. The NRA speaks up for people all the time when they're getting their privilege revoked. But when this man lost his life, you don't say anything. You don't say nothing. Why? Because he doesn't look like you. Why? Because he don't own stock in your business or your company. Why? Because he's you're not able to profit off of him, off of his dollars. That's why you don't say anything. Where's the NRA? I honestly want to know, why are they not speaking up? Why are they not saying anything? Why are they not addressing the situation? Why are they not calling out that Minnesota police station? And I really want to know what's going to happen with the situation in Seattle, Washington. I want to know. Because now her kids have to go into the system. Now we got to kick out more tax dollars. What are the solutions? What do we do next? We cannot continue to talk about these problems. Because now we're going to start to turn a blind eye. Now it's going to start to become the norm. Now it's going to start to feel like, yeah, all right, I heard that story before. Oh, yeah, I know. I knew that was going to happen already. That's not cool. My generation, my millennials, the generation I am involved with, the generation that I speak to, the generation that I grew up in, we are advocates. We speak. We do not hold our tongue. But now I see it switching in a different way because we're scared for our lives. Do we call? Now, like, it's literally a point where we are conscious about, do we call the police or not in a hectic situation? Can we police ourselves or do I need to call the police? We really have to think like that now. When it shouldn't really even be an option. If these people are getting paid to do a job, they should be doing their job. Just like if we go to Macy's and we're not getting the customer service that we're looking for, the first thing we do, we ask for a refund, a return, or we ask to see the manager. Why we are not doing that exact same thing when it comes to the people who are patrolling our streets? This is crazy. It's really crazy. I want to know, what are the solutions? What are the solutions? And if you have the solutions, give me a call. 215-490-9832. Rest in peace, Sandra Bland. Rest in peace, Tamir Rice. Rest in peace, Freddie Gray. Rest in peace, Walter Scott. Rest in peace, Alton Sterling. Rest in peace, Philando Castile. Rest in peace, Jordan Edwards. The list goes on and on and on. We have to do something. Man, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Rather than this commercial break, you will hear your girl True Heart coming out with the True Series. It's me, your girl PLC. Stay tuned.
This world is such a, and when I say this world, I mean it. I don't mean in an ideal sense. I mean in every day, every little thing you do. It's such a, gimme, gimme, gimme. Everybody back off. You know, everybody's like, you taught that from school, everywhere. Big business. You want to be successful? You want to be like Trump? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Push, 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 push. Step, step, step. Crush, crush, crush. That's how it all is. And it's like, nobody ever stopped. Just, you know, I feel like, instead of us just being like, slavery's bad, slavery's there. Bad whitey, bad whitey. I mean, all right, let's stop that. And everybody's smart enough to know that, I mean, we've been slighted. And we want ours. And I don't mean by, like, ours, 40 acres and a mule, because we passed that. But we need help. I mean, for us to be on our own 2 feet, us meaning youth or us meaning black people, whatever you want to take it for. For us to be on our own 2 feet, we do need help. Because we have been here. We have been a good friend. If you want to make it a relationship type thing, we have been there. And now we deserve our payback. It's like you got a friend that you don't never look out for. You know, you dressed up in jewels. Now America's got jewels and they paid and everything. And they lending money to everybody except us. And it's like, you know, everybody need a little help on their way to being, you know, self-reliant. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing about the album, about the Special Olympics. Everybody need a little something and they to be independent. No independent person just grew up and was born independent. You worked and you learned teamwork and you learned cooperation and unity and struggle. And then you became independent. And we have to teach that and instill that. And why is it that they want to do that? I mean, if this is truly a melting pot in the country where we care about and Lady Liberty got a hand like this, she really loves us, then we really need to be like that. And it needs to be the black kids. If there's a white person who got money, then he need to help them. He need to help black kids, Mexican kids, Korean kids, whatever. But it needs to be real. And it needs to be before we all die and then you say, oh, I made a mistake. We should have gave them some money. We really should have helped these folks. It's going to be too late. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when you got to pay your own karma. And that's when God make you punish. When God punishes you. Because I feel like, you know, it's too much money here. I mean, nobody should be hitting Lotto for $36 million and we got people starving in the streets. That is not idealistic. That's just real. That is just stupid. There's no way Michael Jackson should have, or whoever Jackson, should have a million thousand, drupal billion dollars and then there's people starving. There's no way. There's no way that these people should own planes and their people don't have houses, apartments, shacks, drawers, pants. If they earned it, then I think that that's good, and I think that they deserve it. But even if you earned it, you still owe. Because look at me, I don't have that mega money, but I feel guilty walking by somebody. I got to give them some mail. And if I know I got $3,000 in my pocket, I feel like it's wrong to give that person a quarter or a dollar. It's wrong. Only you know what you got in your pocket. And that's wrong. No matter what they do, if they take it and drink it, they take it and drink it. But, I mean, you got... You understand? And we all know how hard it is, and it's not about if you good or you bad. So since it's not about if you good or you bad, we know that because he don't got, don't mean he was bad. Or don't mean he's a criminal, or don't mean he's crazy, or a drug addict, or none of that. It just means he don't got. And ain't it bad that you got 30, I mean, can you imagine somebody having $32 million? $32 million, and this person has nothing, and you can sleep? You can still go to the movies about, I mean, and then these are the type of people that get humanitarian awards. Millionaires. How can they be humanitarians by the fact that they're millionaires and there's so many poor people shows how unhumane they are. You know what I'm saying? And that bugs me. Not saying that when I'm never going to be rich and I'm never, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying it's a struggle and I think everybody deserves. And I think there's a way to pay these people. I think there is a way. It just takes to be revolutionary. And it takes to do something out of the ordinary. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that if we just said, okay, I got an idea. No more porno buildings. You know what I'm saying? Let's build houses. Or no more polo games. Let's build houses for poor people. You know what I'm saying? Or, look, okay, I know you're rich. I know you got $40 billion. But can you just keep it to one house? You only need one house. And if you only got two kids, can you just keep it to two rooms? I mean, why have 52 rooms and you notice somebody with no room? It just don't make sense to me. It don't. And then these people celebrate Christmas. They got big trees, huge trees, all the little trimmings. Everybody got gifts. And there's somebody starving. And they're having a white Christmas. They're having a great Christmas. Eggnog and the whole nine. That's not fair to me.
Congratulations! You've just been accepted into the college of your dreams. But there's one issue that many Americans face when going into college. Money. One way people choose to fix this issue is by taking out a student loan. While in the short run it may seem helpful, if one goes a long time without paying their dues, it can result in one of the biggest problems Americans face today: student loan debt. According to reports made by the Federal Reserve in 2017, 44.2 million U.S. citizens have some sort of student loan debt. This adds up to a total of $1.44 trillion in student loan debt, with average people paying $351 per month. Please, be smart, and remember to pay off your student debt loans, or you'll be paying for it another way.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC. We are coming live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go to TuneIn and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear me, your girl POC, or go to Tune In the website and just search Time for an Awakening as well. Make sure you guys go follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC. We do have True Heart coming up with the Truth series. I cannot wait. She's going to be talking about growing pains. Let's see what she got for us today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the truth series.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another segment of the Truth series. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I hope everyone is enjoying the first day of summer. I'm so happy that you guys are starting your summer off right by tuning in to Revive. You know that this is the only podcast to tune into throughout the summer, the fall, the spring, the winter. Look, we're here all year round. Let's jump in right into the Truth series. Keep in mind, the Truth series is brought to you by Higher Level Communication. Higher Level Communication is a communications brand. We have so much coming down the pipeline. So be sure to stay in the loop on all our social networks, Facebook and Instagram. Go by Higher Level Communication. And Twitter is Higher Level Com. That's Higher Level COMM. You guys do not want to miss what's coming down the pipeline and coming soon. So be sure to turn that blue button green. This is the Truth series. Today's topic is growing pains. Today's topic is entitled growing pains because, whew, y'all, growing pains are real, right? They're real. They're not just for children, believe me. I'm a full-grown adult, and I still feel growing pains. I felt like this was a really, really good follow-up to the last Truth series, which was entitled Free Yourself. Free Yourself talked about just releasing the baggage, releasing that tens of thousands of weight that we carry around every single day, week, month, year. The baggage that we just carry around that we just have to let go. We can't elevate higher with baggage. We can't become the best version of ourselves with baggage. So the last Truth series, if you did not catch it, be sure to go to timeforawakening.com/revive. It's up on the website. You definitely, 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 if you miss Free Yourself, you missed the good Truth series. So be sure to go and check that one out. But focusing on today's Truth series, which is entitled Growing Pains, I really realized that this past week that growing pains, just like I said before, are real. But growing pains are exactly that. They're uncomfortable. They're stressful at times. They're just downright tough. And sometimes they come out of nowhere. So we all know physically, of course, they're going to come. Of course, an 8-year-old isn't going to look the same as an 18-year-old. No, they've gone through puberty. They've gone to through different stages. An 8-year-old and an 18-year-old, believe me, are going through two different stages physically. But they're going through a transition that they need. And we all know that physical growth is inevitable. It's something that we can't run from. We can't run from puberty. No matter how hard girls and boys try, you can't run from it. But physical growth isn't the only thing that needs to grow and evolve. There needs to be growth in spiritual realm, and mental, emotional, and just there needs to be overall growth. Because what I realized is that this is something that I struggle with, and I know plenty of people out there that struggle with it as well. Growing in all aspects is key. Because if you're not growing, it really means that you're stuck. It really means that you're stagnant. You're stuck in the same place because you refuse to grow. If you want something different, if you want to create a different lane, if you want to move, you have to be unstuck. You have to be willing to try something different. You have to be willing to turn over a different stone that you haven't turned over before. You just have to be uncomfortable a little bit in order to get to that next phase. And this honestly may sound so much easier said than done. So it's easy to come onto the Truth Series and say, hey, guys, just unturn that stone that you haven't turned over. Just grow a little bit. Do something different. But the thing about it is people get stuck on being comfortable. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. Nobody wants to go through a tough time. But think about it. That's when true character is built, through the growing pains. And for instance, let me give you a real live example, right? This morning, I'm going through my everyday morning routine. And I walk outside, and guess what I saw? My car, my own personal vehicle, had been vandalized. I'm not sure if this was a random act. I don't know if it's a personal act. I don't know what it is. But I just know that it was vandalized. It wasn't the same as the way I left it. But you talk about feeling vulnerable. But you talk about not being a happy camper, being uncomfortable. Guys, I can't tell you enough that was such a humbling experience to be in a very, very vulnerable and humbling experience. But of course I had questions like, why me? What happened? How did we get here? I literally kept asking myself, how did we get here? But then I also had a revelation. You know what? You can't allow people or a person to take so much from you. You cannot continue to allow someone or something or some being to take so much from you. And you know what? I also realized that the universe has a really, really, really interesting way of repeating lessons. So it's like school. You don't get it the first time, baby, boom, we bringing that lesson right back. Because you're going to catch this lesson. So that's one thing that it was such a humbling experience, something that I had never been through before. But you know what? The universe said, you know what? This is your cross to bear today. So when we talked about the first day of summer, I really had to realize and say, what did I do today? Did a lot of work on my vehicle. But it was a growing pain. It was that thorn in their side, like, oh, this is a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to work through it. Another growing pain that it hit me, and I think I had this thought the other day, is that, I take my friendships so seriously. I just had a whole conversation about being only child, one of my friends, and taking friendships seriously. This is my friendships. All my good friends know I take them seriously, because you develop and you grow into more than friends. You really become family. But let's talk about another growing pain that I recently experienced. A close friend of mine betrayed me, right? When you talk about friends and you talk about, oh, I met you, you're going to be my friend for life, da-da-da, we got so much in common. No. Homegirl just busted left, I busted right, and she betrayed me. But losing a friend isn't the easiest thing to cope with. Losing a friend isn't an easy reality to face. But another thing, I had that revelation of, you can't allow someone else's actions to bend you out of shape. A good friend of mine once told me to never let the cold world change your heart. And she was just talking in a regular conversation. But those few words meant so much to me. And I take them when certain situations arise and say, You can't let the cold world change your heart. We all have imperfections. We all have different things that we can continue to work on. But when you know that your heart is pure and you know that you have good intentions within your heart, you can't let the world change you. And in this case, you know, I'm not necessarily going to get too much into it, but it was a close friend of mine. And she just did some real sneaky stuff that I really just couldn't get down with. And it's like, yo, we're not cut from the same cloth. Yo, you don't think like me. You don't act like me. You don't move like me. And for that, I can't continue to be your friend. Cut it. You know that song, Cut It? Cut It. No, we had to cut it. Because you can't be no friend of mine doing nothing like that. You can go ahead and continue to, you know, be friends with other people. And we worked together. That was the thing. So I got to see you every single day. I have to sing you every single day, and you're going to look me in my face, and you over here doing some foul stuff? No. No, thank you. Keep it. It's over. It's done. It's canceled. Continue. Because I'm a firm believer that you should be able to trust the people that you're around. If I call you my friend, that's an honor. Because I'm a great friend, and I think that's why I take it seriously. I'm not going to harp on it because it is what it is. But it was a humbling experience. Just like the vandalism of my car, it was a humbling experience. Say, you know what? I had other plans for our friendship, but maybe, you know, the universe is teaching me a lesson that I haven't learned before, and I thank you. Next. And the last growing pain, and it really, really hit me, and, you know, POC encouraged me to share my story, and I encourage myself to share my story, and because a lot of you may not necessarily know, I do the True Series, I'm motivational, I do this, but it's like, well, what's the source of it? Where did higher level communication come from? And the last growing pain that really just knocked me off my square was losing my mom. Lost my mom 2 years ago on May 2nd, 2015. And this was probably the worst pain that I ever felt in life. I wasn't wishing on a soul. I wasn't even wishing on my worst enemy. That friend that betrayed me, wasn't even wishing on homegirl. Because it's the worst pain ever. But I thank God that 2 years later, I'm still standing. And that was the reality of the situation that no matter what you go through, the universe is going to give you some obstacles. The universe is going to give you some obstacles, but you just have to roll with the punches. And was I upset about it? Of course. Losing a loved one, especially a parent, isn't easier at all. But to know that it's like, maybe they did fulfill their purpose while they were here on earth. You know what? Let me not necessarily be selfish. It's okay to grow. It's okay to grieve. However, don't get stuck. One thing my mom always told me was true. Don't get stuck. Keep it moving. And that's honestly one thing that I took with me. I took with me from that experience to say, okay, I can dwell on this. I can dwell on this. I can sit. But I have a life to live. And that may sound very selfish. Listen, the audience probably like, huh? What you mean? It was your mom. I understand that. But that's what she would want me to do. So you talk about the motivation for higher level communication. It's because of her. It's because dealing with that situation, I felt like, you know what? I can continue it. Because my mom had the same company called Higher Level Communication. So she's no longer here. So it's like, why not? Just jump into it. Change lives. Impact lives. So why not? Share your story. And this past Saturday, my family and I actually had an opportunity to walk in her honor at the sister strut walk. And it was a walk that raised awareness and raised money for women that were battling breast cancer in the African-American community. And it was such a beautiful thing. It was such a beautiful thing to actually do. But that was a growing pain. That was a growing pain that I honestly had to go and get through. And it wasn't easy, but that's just the reality of the situation. And sometimes you have to go through things to really realize what you're capable of handling. And that's the most beautiful thing, that sometimes we don't even realize how strong we are until being strong is really the only choice that we have. And you guys ask me like, oh, I only honestly gave like 3 examples of growing pains that I experienced recently. But you guys ask, like, how do I get through growing pains? How, you know, this pain is just annoying. It's in my side. It's in my leg. It's in my mind. It's in my emotions. How? Because growing pains are coming left and right. But one prayer that I love, one thing that I love is a prayer that says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This prayer honestly speaks so much life, and it's a common thing, it's a common statement that's used. But allowing yourself to allowing yourself to actually feel is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a hard thing, but it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But it's just wild. And then you ask yourself, okay, so, you know, all right, I got the prayer. What's next? It will be allow yourself to feel. We live in a society that doesn't believe in feelings. Everybody's like, oh, dang, how about your feelings? Oh, you feel? Dang, that's crazy. No, it's okay to feel. I always say it's a gift and a curse to feel. But no, it's okay to feel deeply. Just don't get stuck. And allow yourself to cope. Everybody says the cliche, oh, time heals all wounds. Okay, I get it. But allow yourself that time to heal and cope with the situation that you're dealing with. Nobody can walk in your shoes. You have your own story. And it's not going to happen overnight. And if you ever need to reach out to somebody, never let anybody make you feel weak for doing so. And put yourself in a situation, in a position to grow. Nothing is going to grow from weeds. Nothing. So surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with a positive network that wants to see you grow. And allow yourself to evolve. Continue to experience life. And ultimately, just go through the pain. I just told somebody today, you don't want to have a permit. You don't want to have a situation that, one, you can't deal with, but two, you don't want to basically end a problem. You don't want to end with a solution for a temporary problem. Don't do something today that's going to try to affect everything that you're going through. You don't want to have a quick fix for a temporary problem, because know that anything that you're going through is temporary. A growing pain, yes, will affect how you move. They will. They definitely will. But the growing pains is the thing. It's about growing. The pain is temporary, but the growth is everlasting. So just know that if you're going through growing pains, either now or in the future, accept what you can't change. Change what you can. Allow yourself to feel and cope and heal. And ultimately put yourself in a position to grow. And allow yourself to grow. I'm telling you, your future self is going to thank you for growing. Your future self is going to be like, wow, I got through that. And then you can share your story. That's the most positive thing. Continue to share your story about your growing pains, because you never know who needs your story. Because it's a very, very humbling experience. This has been another episode of the Truth Series, another segment of the Truth Series. Be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication. Twitter is Higher Level Com. If anybody ever wants to email me, you can email higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. Until next time, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
That was awesome. Actually, I agree with you on a lot of things that you said, especially with the last point. Put yourself in a position to grow. That means get around like-minded people. That means get in a space and an environment where it can help you thrive, where it can help you succeed and continue to, you know, be the best that you can be each and every day. Growing pains. Yes, definitely. We all grow through them. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. You're not the first person to experience this. Time is of the essence. It just repeats itself. We never get it back, but it definitely does repeat itself. Understand that. So I appreciate you when you talk about growing pains today. So that was a great follow-up from your last one, your last Truth Series. Growing pains is something that we all experience, but it's how we deal with the adversity. How we deal with it is the key. How we deal with it is going to make you successful. How you deal with it is going to make you the person that you are striving to be each and every day. When you want to breathe as bad as you want to succeed, then you will be successful. Understand me. E.T. said it best. When you want to breathe as bad as you want to succeed, then you will be successful. Think of success like your last breath. It's so many people out here who want to do exactly what you want to do, but how are you going to separate yourself? How are you going to push yourself to make sure that you
Never give up. How are you going to push yourself to make sure that you are on top? How are you going to push yourself to make sure that you are that person? It's important that you understand that. And when you get through those growing pains, that's when those testimonies start to kick in. That's when people start to see, like, oh, that person really wants it. That person really feels it. That person really loves what they do, because they won't let anything get in their way. Not even themselves. That's the key. Get out your own way and trust the process. Speaking into existence. Growing pains isn't about anything. It's about just going through life and understanding that everything is not going to be a smooth ride. You're going to get bumps. You're going to get bruises. You're going to fall down. It's how many times you pick yourself up. Not look to the right, not look to the left and wait for somebody to come grab your hand. How are you going to pick yourself up? And that's why we're talking about students versus loans today here on Revive. How are we going to get through the adversity of student loans? I had to bring it back to today's show. How are we going to get back? How are we going to get ourselves? How are we going to get ourselves out of debt? We can't look to our parents, because if we look to our parents, they would have been paying the bill from the very beginning. We can't look to Bessie DeVos. She don't care about none of us or our student loans. If we don't have a voucher, it's nothing we can do. So that's why we are talking about student loans here today on Revive. We want to educate you guys and also re-educate you guys on the growing pains of student loans, federal student loans, private student loans. We do have a call on the line that I want to get to, but I do thank you, True Heart, for giving that truth series today. I'm entitled Growing Pains. Make sure you guys check that out. Make sure you guys go follow her as well. Higher Level Communication. That's the wave right now. Higher Level Communication. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Hi, my name is Kayla. I live in Pennsylvania. And I heard that your show today was called Students versus Loans.
Yes, definitely. That's what we're talking about here today.
Okay. I just wanted to share that I just recently got accepted into grad school at Queens College in New York City. And I took out a huge loan. And I just wanted to say that, to be honest, I mean, everyone's opinion is different. But in order to me, I feel like money comes and goes. As fast as it comes, it goes. So I went ahead and I took out a loan because I wanted to further my education. So I say go for it.
So you're okay with taking out student loans?
Yes, because I feel as though, yes, I may take it out, but it will eventually get paid off. Like, it's going to get paid off. And I'm not going to let money stop me from continuing to do what I want to do.
Definitely. I hear you. And where did you just recently graduate from?
I graduated from ESU, East Brunswick University in East Brunswick, Pennsylvania.
Awesome. So that you plugged in, you know, True Heart then.
Yes.
Dope. What did you graduate with?
I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Education, and then I was a double major in special education.
Awesome. So what do you plan on doing with your degree? And also your graduate degree once you receive it?
Okay. I want to be a teacher, and I'm going to get my graduate degree in literacy. So that's like the connection between reading and writing and how we can integrate different mythologies into it. So eventually I want to be an ELA teacher, language arts teacher, reading teacher, along those lines.
Awesome. And this is in like an elementary school, a middle school, or a high school?
Well, what I'm going for is elementary school and middle school, birth through sixth grade.
Awesome. And I know you're going to get it. Definitely, I know you're going to get it. True Heart has something to say to you as well.
Kayla, you're going to be the dopest teacher ever. I can't wait. In the future, like years and years and years from now, I can send my children to you, and they're just going to get everything that they need in and out of the classroom, because you're an amazing student, you're an amazing friend, and I know you're going to be an amazing teacher.
Thank you, thank you. And I definitely just wanted to share that no matter what the loan is, I definitely think that you should just go ahead and do it and just know that eventually it will get paid for. It will get paid off, and you shouldn't let that stop you from going after what you want.
Definitely, Kayla, and I appreciate you supporting the Revive platform, and also congratulations on your accomplishment. I hope you kick down that door.
Thank you.
And we also have another caller on the line as well. Oh, no, that's not our caller. I'm sorry. That's actually today's guest that's on the line right now. So we are going to go to a quick commercial break so we can get back to our guest. Today's show, once again, is entitled Students versus Loans. It should be a great show for you guys. We're going to educate you guys and also re-educate the people out there who think they know everything, because this is a show where we're going to be dropping gems and also a plethora of knowledge. We have some great guests coming on the line today. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Closer look at 12 foods that can strengthen your bones and put that spring back into a man's step. 1. Eggs. Scrambled or boiled, eggs can provide you with a bountiful supply of vitamin D. This vitamin plays a key role in how well a man can sustain a normal level of testosterone in his blood. It's recommended that you eat 1 egg per day, but those who have trouble with cholesterol should skip the yolk. 2. Garlic. With its powerful antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial properties, this anti-aging superfood can help you fight off illness and infections. Just add it to any of your favorite foods for a flavor boost. 3. Honey. Instead of reaching for sugar, choose a small spoonful of honey as a substitute. Add it to your tea, oatmeal, or pancakes. Honey's antioxidants can strengthen your immune system and help you win the battle when infections strike. 4. Watermelon. A juicy watermelon is a great summer treat, but it can also improve blood circulation and your entire circulatory system. Eat it as a snack, add it to salad, or whip up a sorbet. 5. Cauliflower. Adding a small amount of cauliflower to your daily diet can reduce estrogen while boosting testosterone. 6. Grapes. By eating a handful of grapes a day, a man's testosterone levels will rise and sperm activity will also increase. Additionally, the nutrients in grapes can slow down the aging process. 7. Oysters. Oysters are little vaults stuffed full of vitamins and minerals that enhance your heart's health and boost your immune system. Just sprinkle a little lemon juice and salt to preserve their nutrients. 8. Meat. Too much meat isn't beneficial for your health, but it does play a significant role in increasing testosterone levels. Just be sure to eat meat that's organic and has come from a grass-fed source. 9. Beans. Beans can be added to most any side dishes, soups, or salads. These heart-healthy foods also help men maintain normal testosterone levels. 10. Tuna. Vitamin D-rich tuna is good for your heart, but just remember to buy tuna that has not been exposed to mercury. 11. Pomegranates. Pomegranate juice is an excellent source of potent antioxidants, which can tackle free radicals before they can disrupt circulatory functions. Also, the International Journal of Impotence Research states that nearly 50% of impotent men notice their condition improved after drinking only 1 glass of pomegranate juice. 12. Cabbage. Men who eat cabbage ingest the chemical indole-3-carbinol, or IC3, which eliminates female hormones. A Rockefeller University study noted that men who consumed 500 milligrams daily for 7 days saw their estrogen levels cut in half.
Okay.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl, POC. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. We are live on timeforanawakening.com. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to TuneIn, the app, or the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you will hear me, your girl, POC, live each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are about to start our show today. Once again, today's show is entitled Students versus Loans. I'm so ready to talk about these loans. I'm so excited because I need you guys to be educated on what's going on out here. So once again, today's show is entitled Student versus Loans. I have been accepted. So Trueheart, who do we have coming onto the Revive platform today?
On the Revive platform this evening, we have Lanice Lockley. Lanice Lockley is a former student loan counselor for the Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency. Lanice, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. What's up, Lanice? How are you doing? Awesome. And we're going to introduce our next guest. And after we introduce our next guest, we're going to get the conversation going.
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Joe McCloud. Joe McCloud is a young professional currently employed in the student loan industry. He has extensive experience in federal student loan management options, as well as a working knowledge of private loans and other financial aid options. He has given several presentations on financial aid and student loan management throughout the Philadelphia area. Within the scope of his employment, he has assisted tens of thousands of individuals maintain successful repayment. And he has recently begun to provide free consultation of federal student loan management options. Joe, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. How's everyone doing?
I'm excited to have you on the show today, Joe, especially you talking about free consultations, because everyone out here wants to know this information you have for us today.
For sure. It's a hot topic.
Yeah. So, Joe, we are going to be in a conversation here today with Lanice. I'm excited to have both of you guys onto the show today to talk about this student loan situation, because we all know us millennials, we are in debt right now because of student loans. So let's jump into the show. I am going to start with you, Joe. When it comes to student loans, what would be that one word that you would use to describe student loans?
Scary. Very scary.
Yes,
honestly.
Why?
Before I even got, you know, the job that I got that taught me as much as I know about student loans, I didn't even open the mail. I just let it, you know, go, and I didn't even deal with it. I just thought it would get taken care of by itself somehow. They would come calling me, and by that time, I would have some money. But, you know, going through the process I did, I now know that there are options out there. So, you know, you might think that there's a lot of debt and, you know, there's no way you'll be able to pay that back, or there's no way you'll be able to make that monthly payment. So it is scary. And, you know, you do get into situations maybe when you have people calling you asking you for money, or you know, expressing concern that they haven't gotten their money. So it is a scary situation, but there are definitely options out there. And I hope, you know, after the conversation we had today, you'll understand some of those options.
Definitely. It is a very scary process. Lanice, what is the first word that comes to you when you think of the student loan process?
Confusing. I would definitely say confusing.
And why would you say
there's
confusing?
A lot of information. It's also a lot of misinformation. And I mean, I think the one thing that is really confusing is, you know, when everyone's told go to college, the one thing they almost never talk about is how to finance that education. So, of course, you get to the financial aid office and, you know, they're shoving a bunch of papers in your face and it's really daunting. A lot of people have no idea what it is they're signing, what they're looking at. And a lot of people graduate or, you know, just stop going and then the bills start.
Definitely. So
it really is a very confusing process from start to finish, practically.
Definitely. So when it comes to, I'm going to ask you a question again, Lanice. When it comes to student loans, what would be the first step that you would tell someone when it comes to filling out their FAFSA application? What is, you know, the key essentials that you need to know when it comes to filling out your FAFSA application?
Yeah, so absolutely. The FAFSA is your first step. That's where you go to even see if you're eligible for other financial aid options, other, you know, more free options such as scholarships and grants that you don't necessarily have to pay back. But yeah, filling out your FAFSA, going to studentaid.gov is a great resource. studentaid.gov, as in Victor, is a great resource for you. FAFSA.gov. There are a lot of mirror sites that third parties use to try and, you know, scam you out of some money. So if they ever ask you to pay for this application, FAFSA stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. So it's free. Don't ever pay for it. When you're filling out the application, if you're a dependent of someone or if someone can claim you as, you know, head of household or something like that, then make sure you have their tax information handy, their most recent tax information handy. Otherwise, you just need to have your income information if you've ever filed taxes. And it's a pretty lengthy questionnaire, but the majority of the questions you should be able to answer just kind of off the top of your head. Otherwise, you just need that tax information.
Awesome. And Lanice, what would be your opinion? What is some key essentials that you would need when it comes to filling out your FAFSA application?
Joe pretty much touched on a lot of good points. The FAFSA does deal with grants. They also do, you know, let your school know if you're interested in a work study, which, you know, employment that you can get that also helps, you know, pay for school while you're going to school. And a lot of people don't know, even if your parent gets, you know, your parent can apply for a plus one for you. And even if they get denied, that would actually make you eligible for an additional $4,000 to $5,000. So even if your parent, you know, knows that, you know, their credit's not good or what have you, tell them to apply anyway, because if they get denied, you as a dependent could get additional funds that you wouldn't have normally gotten had they just not applied.
So you're saying that if someone tells their parent to apply for federal student aid, that they will be able to get an additional $4,000 or $5,000 if they were denied for it?
Right. Because if you're a dependent student, people can file dependent, I believe, you know, for as long as they're a dependent. If that parent gets denied for whatever reason, because the parent plus loan is to a point dependent upon credit worthiness. If they get denied and they don't appeal that denial, you could actually get an additional $4,000 to $5,000 in federal Stafford loans if you go and then apply for your own financial aid through the FAFSA. So that would be something, like I said, if your parent knows that they're not going to be approved because, you know, your brother or sister already applied and they got denied, you can tell them, well, hey, I can get additional money if you get denied, so just tell them to apply anyway. So that's like an added benefit.
Awesome. So that kind of leads me to another question. What if you are emancipated? What would happen then?
If you're what? I'm sorry.
Emancipated. Like what if you have, you know, secluded yourself from your parents?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, if you file or fill out the application as an independent student, unfortunately, those benefits don't extend to you. So you would still be subject to, like, the regular limits because you are only allowed to take for undergrad $57,500 in federal student loan. So unfortunately, if you're independent, you wouldn't be able to get additional additional loans. I mean, you would still qualify for Pell Grants and things of that nature, but you wouldn't be able to get the extra funds through, you know, the dependent with the Parent PLUS loan.
Okay, awesome. So, Joe, when Lanice was talking, she touched on something. She labeled it as Stafford loans. Could you go ahead and talk on that point for us a little bit? What is a Stafford loan?
Yeah, Stafford loan is the most common federal student loan that you're going to get as a college student. It's just really the base loan. It's not really, there's no real distinction upon it other than it's the main type of loan right now. You'll also hear them referred to as direct loans. Those are the only types of loans that are being originated now. You may hear a term called FFELP loans, which are older loans. The only reason I'm making that distinction is because the FFELP loans do have less federal options in terms of the repayment schedules offered to them. But there are definitely plenty of ways to get those turned into direct loans as well. So, your Stafford loans are just your base loans. Now, Lanice also touched on PLUS loans, which are parent loans for undergraduate students. It's actually an acronym. So those are the loans that your parents or your guardians can take out on your behalf, and they're financially liable for them, but, you know, you're going to school as a benefit. And then you have your PLUS GB loans, which are actually if you're going to graduate school. So I think Kayla, she may have taken out a graduate PLUS loan if it was a federal loan or something like that. So there are definitely a bunch of different types of federal student loans, and your Stafford is your most common.
So a Stafford is just are you applying for a Stafford loan when you fill out your FAFSA, or that's just what you're going to be given?
Good question. Yes, you're pretty much applying for a Stafford loan. Yes, that's what you're going to be given when you fill out your FAFSA application. If you're, let's say, like Lanice is bringing up the situation, if you can't pay for your entire education with a Stafford loan and you need further assistance, and maybe your parents aren't eligible for more financial aid or something like that, then you would be able to qualify for more Stafford loans. So, yeah, you would be applying for a Stafford loan.
And a Stafford loan is only federal. It's not private, correct?
Correct. So, you know, if you can, I would urge you to stay away from the private side of student loans. But, yes.
So what would you apply for when you apply for a private loan? Lanice, so, like, if I apply for a private loan, what am I going to be receiving? Like, what are they going to give me, Lanice?
Well, a private loan, it's pretty much just like a regular bank loan where you have to apply the same way you would for, like, a personal line of credit. It is based on creditworthiness. It's not a part of any federal program. You don't get the same repayment options or the benefits of a deferment or forbearance if you can't afford to pay, typically. Private loans do offer forbearances sometimes, but usually those are very, very limited, and it's usually under very certain circumstances. They usually have a much higher variable interest rate, which can completely make the payment unaffordable, especially depending on how much you borrow. So, I mean, just in general, private loans for students are typically something that I would strongly advise against. very few places actually even offer student loans privately. I believe Navy and Sallie Mae, they're the major one that still does it. Most banks don't even do them anymore. But, I mean, just in general, it's really the least ideal way to pay for your education. It's just like federal student loans. It's typically non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. So it's pretty much you carry that debt for the rest of your life. The payment options are typically very, very limited, and it's not a very good way to finance your education overall.
And that's one thing that I definitely learned, that no matter what, student loans are going to stay with you for the rest of your life. It's a good thing that they don't go on to the next generation. You know what I mean? That it's a good thing that your kids don't have to pick up your debt or anything like that, but it's definitely going to stay with you for the rest of your life. Once again, today's show is entitled Students versus Loans. I have been accepted. We are talking to Lanice Lockley and also Joseph McLeod here today on Road Revive, they are educating us on the student loan process. So we talked about loans. We talked about the type of loans already. But let's talk about when you get into the repayment side of them. A lot of my friends are on forbearances right now, and they have no clue what a forbearance is. Could Joe go ahead and touch on what a forbearance is and how you should use it properly, the proper way of using a forbearance?
Yeah, thank you for making that distinction, because, you know, you can use a forbearance, but there is a proper way to use a forbearance. A forbearance is pretty much just a fancy term of saying I need to stop paying my loans for a certain period of time. I need to postpone my payments. So, you know, you have several different types out there based on certain eligibility requirements. Most of the ones that you're going to be going for are going to be based upon, excuse me, your financial status. So there's one federal forbearance called the student loan debt burden forbearance. So it pretty much takes into account how much your student loan payment is on a monthly basis and how much you're making on a monthly basis gross. And that's a big distinction as well. Anytime the government or, you know, federal student loans is taking into account your income, they're looking at the amount that you make prior to any taxes getting taken out or, you know, any of those deductions like that. So that's a big distinction you want to make sure you're considering as well. No expenses, no after taxes. But yeah, the forbearance is that one is based upon your income. And then you have one, which is what I'm glad Tamara made the very acute distinction of, is the general forbearance. This you do not have to be eligible for at any given time. You have 3 years of this to use, and you can just call up and say, hey, I need to postpone my payments for, you know, up to 3 months at a time. The biggest thing with that is, like I said, you're not held to any eligibility requirements, so it's very easy for you to abuse it, but you only have 3 months to use it. So let's say, I mean, excuse me, 3 years to use it overall. So let's say, you know, you just don't really feel like making the payments right now. You know, you got some other things you want to do, some vacations you want to go on or whatever you want to do with your money. And you're just postponing it, but you actually have the money to make your payment. Now and down the line, you've used all that time that, you know, you could have been saving, and you're really strapped and, you know, things are really tight for you. And now you don't have that time to use. So, you know, make sure you're strategic in the way that you use your forbearances and things like that. But again, forbearance is just a fancy way of saying I need to postpone my payments right now.
Definitely. So when it comes to the interest, because, you know, the interest is accumulating every day, and that's something that people do not know. Once you
absolutely
leave that grace period, your interest is accumulating each and every day that you are in repayment. Is your interest still growing while you're in the forbearance? Like, because you're not making any payments. So does it mean the money continues to grow? How does that work?
Right. So you thank you for that. Yes, your interest is always going to accrue no matter what. There are certain times where it does stop. But when we're talking about forbearances, it's going to continue to accrue while you're on a forbearance. So even though you're not due a payment, you're not going to be, you know, penalized for not making a payment. It is in your benefit to make a payment, because all that forbearance is going to do is add up extra money on your loan. And then what it's going to do is what they call capitalize. And now let's say you're on a forbearance for 3 months and your monthly interest accrual is $50 a month. Now you have $150 sitting out there that you didn't pay at the end of that forbearance. It's going to be added to that principal that you took out to go to school. So if you only took out, let's say, $2,000 to go to school and you let that forbearance go and you didn't pay that $150, now you have $2,150 of principal. And now that $2,150 is now accruing interest on top of itself. So it's kind of an exponentiating situation. So you really want to pay something if you can.
Definitely. So all you guys out there who thought you put yourself in a forbearance and you was good for those 3 months, and now you wondering why you got an extra $350 on your account, now you know why. Because the interest never stops accruing. And Lanice, when it comes to deferments, can you break that down for us as well? Can you explain to us what a deferment is and why it's different from a forbearance?
Sure. A deferment works pretty much the same way as a forbearance, where it still postpones your payment for a specific amount of time. The only difference is with deferment, you have to be eligible. It's not like the regular forbearance. You can just call up and say, hey, I need to use it. there are different types. There's an unemployment deferment where you get 6 months if you are unemployed. There's also an economic hardship deferment where if you're working but you're not really making a whole lot and you're meeting like the federal poverty limits for your family size. And there's also deferments if you're in the Peace Corps. So if you're, you know, doing your service or what have you, you can actually postpone it based off of that. So with the deferment, you actually have to prove that you're eligible. You have to provide documentation, and it is subject to approval. These deferments typically are subject to that same 3-year cumulative time that you have. The only one that's not is if you're in the military. You actually can defer your loan payments if you're in the military. That's not subject to that 3-year time period. So if you are going away on active duty, that is something that you can ask your servicer to put on your account for you. Typically, like I said, the big difference is just that you just have to meet eligibility requirements. This isn't just something you can call us and say, you know, hey, I need this time on my loan. And for deferments, actually, I should have mentioned this first. The difference is with the interest, where for your subsidized loans, the interest does not accrue for the time that you're on that deferment. Your unsubsidized loans are still going to accrue interest. Unfortunately, that happens regardless. But for those of you that have subsidized loans, the government does Lanisha, pay that interest that for down. You. So that does keep that, you know, from having your balance get too high.
Lanisha, you're going to have to break that down. Or Joe, someone's going to have to break that down. You said subsidized loan. We out here, we don't know what a subsidized loan is. Inform us, please.
Right. Well, a subsidized loan is pretty much the type of loan that you get that's actually given to you based on your financial need when you're actually filling out your FAFSA. So typically, you are going to get more unsubsidized loans than you are subsidized loans for most people. And again, that is based on your financial needs. So you will get some subsidies. Usually people have a mixture of both subsidized and unsubsidized. And like I said, the subsidized are the loans that the government pays the interest on during certain periods of time. Main one being when you're in school. That interest on those types of loans does not accrue until you actually come into repayment. So if you have a subsidized loan that you got last year, you're in school for 4 years, that interest is not going to accrue while you're in school. The unsubsidized loan, if you have one, that interest is accruing from day one. So that interest is not being paid for. So just like, you know, when Joe was talking about capitalization, when you come back into repayment, when you're out of school, interest is going to capitalize on the unsubsidized loans that you have.
Okay. So, Joe, are you telling me, or is Lanise telling me right now, that I should be worried more about my interest than the actual loan?
In a sense, yeah. You should be more cognizant of your interest than of, you know, the overall loan, just because that really is going to dictate the way you manage your loan. Interest is more so long term, and, you know, if you see and if you project yourself and your 5-year plan or however you see your future, you want to definitely think about that interest and what you're going to be doing with your loans in terms of maybe using a deferment or forbearance, and, you know, if you can make any type of payment or if you can lower your payment, because again, interest is always going to fluctuate and be a determining factor in what types of things you're eligible for in a lot of cases. And also, just to kind of connect some of what Lanise was saying to some current events, in the proposed new presidential budget, the president is actually proposing to end all subsidized loans for new borrowers as of, I think, 2018 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's only a proposal right now, but of course, you know, they're not going to want to continue to pay on some interest. So that's something that I did see that just recently came out in the new proposed presidential budget.
And that's going to be something that's going to be scary. That's going to be so that means they will only be producing unsubsidized loans.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so what about, you know, as we're talking about interest rates, does the interest rates go up and down? Do they, you know, can they change over a period of time while you're in school, Joe?
No, they would actually stay the same. They, right now, any loan that's originated does have a fixed rate, so it will stay the same. Now, if you're an older borrower who's maybe had loans prior to 2010, then you may have a variable rate, and that's going to be based on a few different financial factors. But yeah, right now, all loans are primarily fixed rate loans.
Wow. So let's get into some repayment. So, Lanice, what is this Obama plan I keep hearing about? Is this true? Is this false? Is this something that's legitimate? I'm trying to get me an Obama plan because I got me an Obama phone already. So how can I get me an Obama payment plan when it comes to my student loans?
Well, it's not called the Obama plan. I got one, you know, Obama's president, everything's named after him. But no, it's not called the Obama forgiveness. It's not called the Obama loan. It's not anything with Obama's name on the program. It's called income-driven repayment plans. And also coupled in with that is public service loan forgiveness. So the income-driven repayment plan, just like it says in the name, it's based off of your income and your family size, as well as your loan debt. So if you, let's say you have a $5,000 loan balance, but you make $100,000 a year and it's just you, fortunately, not really going to work for you. It's really designed for people who have loan debt that's really like as much, if not more, than what you make in a year. Also coupled with how many people you have in your household. If it's you, your wife, five kids, and, you know, together you have six-figure loan debt, that would definitely be a program that can help you lower your payments. And a lot of people are actually eligible for payments that are $0 a month.
So $0?
A lot of people don't. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But, you know, if it's within a certain limit, because, again, it's all based on, you know, the poverty limits for that year. So a lot of people are actually eligible because their income isn't really on par with what their loan debt is. So when it's kind of like shift in the opposite direction, like I said, coupled with the fact that you have children and if you're married and your spouse has loans, that's all counted together if you guys file jointly for most of the plans. And you can actually get payments better that can be $0 a month.
What?
And those are all good for a year, and then you just have to reapply each year to remain on those plans.
So what? That's crazy. So, Joe, so she's trying to, so what she's saying is that no matter what kind of loan that I get, I can get on this income-driven repayment plan and pay $0 a month if my income is not, you know, where it should be, and if I have a huge family, I can pay $0 a month with any kind of loan that I have?
Very generally, yes. And again, it has to be a federal loan that we're talking about now. I guess the very specific type that we had mentioned earlier, the Stafford loan. So if you do have a Stafford loan that it will be federal, then typically you will be eligible for that maybe $0 payment. Now, if you have a PLUS loan, if you're a parent, so maybe you're listening in and you're a parent of a student, then it gets a little tricky because your options are a little more limited if you have just a PLUS loan. There are still income-driven plans out there for you, but they may not be as beneficial as if it were just a Stafford loan. But yes, all types of federal loans, you will be eligible for some sort of income-driven plan, and there are four out there currently.
What about the kind of loan you were talking about earlier, the FFELP? I think that's what it was called. You said the FFELP loan, right? I can get an income-driven repayment plan,
yep,
with a FFELP loan too?
Yes, if you have a FFELP loan, you can get an income-driven plan, but there's only one that you can get, and that's the caveat with that one. If you, just like with if you have a PLUS loan, if you're a parent and you have a student loan or federal student loan for your dependent, you only have one possible option if you do something prior, you know, to going for this plan. But if you have a FFELP loan, again, you only have one option out of these income-driven plans.
So, okay, so me personally, right? So I just filled out my income-driven, mm-hmm, repayment plan, and I was confused. Such as Lanice said, the one thing that comes to mind when she thinks of student loans is confusion, right? So I filled it out, mm-hmm, and I see this thing called
IBR, ICR, and a payee or something like that. What does that mm-hmm. mean to me? I don't. It's 10 boxes on here. They said check one. I'm going to check them all because I don't know which one I want. So what do I do? You know, me being ignorant, I don't know what to do. And then I call. You know, and I'm not getting the great customer service because everyone's mad because everyone's calling in upset. So just give us some knowledge. What should I do if I get an IDR repayment plan packet? What should I do, or how should I go about filling it out? Should I check all the boxes, or should I check the payee? Should I check the IBR? What should I do?
Yes, so you definitely don't want to check all the boxes. but what you want, what the government has tried to do, and you know, bless their heart, they've made it a little bit more confusing. But what they've tried to do is make the application a little bit easier. So they've implemented what they call skip logic. So if you answer, if you start from one and you read everything within that question that pertains to you, it should walk you through the application. But if you're looking at the application and you're filling it out, theoretically, what you would want to do is first see if this is your first time. If this is your first time going into this plan, you want to indicate that on the in the first section. So there's a, I think there are four boxes for that question. You just want to indicate, hey, I'm new to this and I want to go into one. The second question would then ask you, what plan are you going for? So those four different kind of acronyms you rattled off are the four different plans. So the newest is called the REPAYE, or REPAYE. It's called the Revised Pay-As-You-Earn Plan. Again, that's the newest, so it has the most benefit. So if you can get that one, go for that. Then you have the PAYE, which is the one that preceded the REPAYE. And again, that's still a very good one, but it's a little bit, or it's actually the hardest to get into, which is why they came up with the revised pay as you earn. Then you have the IBR, which is the income-based repayment plan. And that's the one that was the most common for a while. That's the one that the FFELP loans are eligible for. So if you have those older FFELP loans, you can go for the IBR right now. And then you have the ICR, which is the income contingent repayment plan. And that is that was around about the same time as the IBR. That's more so for direct loan borrowers and those borrowers that we talked about that have taken out PLUS loans. And if they've consolidated them, they're eligible for that plan. So those are your four plans right there. Again, the revised pay-as-you-earn, income-based, and then you have the income contingent repayment plan. But in that section as well, what the government has done is placed a option on there for you to just check, hey, have my server placement on the lowest option. So if this is your first time applying for this plan, I would just have you check that box. Hey, have you take care of it. I don't want to do all the research and figure out what's the best for me. You know, do what you're supposed to do and give me the best repayment option for myself. And then from there, it's really just a kind of series of questions that'll want to be tailored to what your financial circumstances are and how you filled out your tax. So if you're, you know, if you file married and your joint taxes, then you would indicate that, and there would be a certain set of questions you would have to answer. If you're single and, you know, you haven't filed jointly, obviously, then there's a certain set of questions you would have to go through. If you're married and you filed separately, there's a certain set of questions that you would have to go through, and all of those follow that skip logic. So you will not have to answer every question on that application. There's never a time you'd have to answer every question on that application, actually.
Okay. And Lanice, by Joe going over all of that, right, breaking it down to, you know, the IDR, the repayee, the payee, and the ICR, but I get on the phone with one of my loan counselors, and the first thing that he or she asks me is, what's 10%, what's 20%, what's 15% of my income? And I'm thinking, like, why does that matter? So why when I, you know, I'm asking for advice on how to fill out an IDR application, Lanice, why do they ask me, you know, what's 10%, 15% of my income? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, depending on which program you are eligible for, that's the percentage of your income that's taken into account when your payments are calculated. So Joe was talking about the newest repayment plan, the revised pay as you earn. That's based on 10% of the income for you and, of course, your spouse if you have one. But for the income based, it's 15%. And for the income contingent, that goes up to 20%. So depending on which program you're eligible for, your payment would be higher or lower, depending.
So that is a very important, you know, thing to know. And of course, if you're given estimates, you know, for each plan, that's why they're so different, because if you were on the revised pay as you earn, it's 10%. Pay as you earn, which is pretty much the same, that's still 10%. Then there's income based, like I said, which is 15%, and income contingent, which is the only one that the parent plus loans are eligible for, but only if they're consolidated. So that's like the highest, you know, payment that anyone would have under an income driven repayment plan.
So you guys,
that's why those.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
Oh, no.
No, I was saying, so both of you guys spoke on the issue of, you know, having a spouse. So, you know, when it comes to this IDR repayment plan, you might have to incorporate your spouse's income. So why not just join the two instead of saying he has loans and she has loans? Why can't we just put them together and repay like that, Joe?
they did that in the past. They did think that was a good idea in the past, and they allowed people to pretty much consolidate their loans. But with the high divorce rate we have as a country right now, once you divorce, you can't unconsolidate those loans. So, you know, till death do you part on your loans, honestly, for that type of scenario. Now, what the government did implement is a joint IDR plan. So if you're going for one of these income-driven plans, you can go into the joint ICR plan, income contingent plan, and get a payment based upon all of you all's income and student loan debt. You would get pretty much one payment, and then it would be split up between you all's student loan debt. So let's say, you know, I have a spouse, she has $100,000 in student loan debt, I have $200,000. My payment might be $100, hers might be $50. Our overall payment is $150 for that plan.
Okay. And then as you were explaining that to me, you were using this jargon of consolidate or consolidation. What does that mean?
Consolidation is just the putting all your loans together into one. So if you went to school for 4 years, and let's say you were on a semester program, so that's, you know, two semesters a year, that's going to be eight different times you might have a loan, or at least four different times you have a loan. Maybe you don't want four different credit lines on your credit report that show you have student loans out. So you want to consolidate those. When you consolidate them, they become essentially one loan. And now you only have that one mark on your credit showing you just have the one student loan out there outstanding.
So you pretty much are adding everything together. So earlier, Lenny said something about Sallie Mae, which we're all afraid of. So Sallie Mae, but me, myself, I have Great Lakes. So with Great Lakes, so let's just say, for example, if I had loans with Sallie Mae and Great Lakes, could I do that? Could I combine them together there? Or I only can combine the loans that I have at Great Lakes and then the ones at Sallie Mae, I would combine them separately.
No, great question. That's ideal. So if you do have two different services, you have a Sallie Mae and you have a Navient and you have a Great Lakes, then you would be able to put both of those services loans together, and maybe you would just be with Great Lakes at that point and just have all your loans with Great Lakes into one.
So, Lenise, how many services are there out there?
Well, for the direct loans, all of the newly created loans, I believe, since about 2012, there's only four, which would be Nelnet, Great Lakes, Navient, and Fed Loan Servicing. So if you get a student loan now, you would wind up with one of those four. Now, the government at one point, they're trying to make that one single servicer. Don't know where they are in that process. I think they postponed that, so that isn't happening quite yet. So right now you would still wind up with one of those four. If you have older FFELP loans, which are the loans that existed like pre 1998, there were a myriad of servicers for that. AES was one. Nelnet actually, I believe, did those, as well as Navient, because those were loans that were given out through a bank. So you might have a lot of people who were given loans through a bank. So that was what was considered a FFELP loan. So those kind of went everywhere. Those don't exist anymore.
What are the four services?
People still have them, but for the most part, there's only direct loans now. So there's only four federal direct loan servicers.
And what are they?
So people who have older FFELP loans might have a whole host of others.
What are the four servicers?
Great Lakes, Nelnet, Navient, and Fed Loan Servicing.
Okay, awesome. And are you able to, like, walk up to these places and say, hey, I need some consultation? Like, how does that go?
No, unfortunately, they're all either call, email. Nelnet has a chat, but for the most part, you would either have to call or email, unfortunately. So these aren't places that have, like, you know, a retail location or a storefront. They're all, you know, private buildings, and you can't just walk up and say, hey, take my application.
Okay.
You have to call and get, you know, talk to someone. Or like I said, you can email, usually through your online account if you have one. Or you can just go onto their website and you can get other ways to contact them.
Awesome.
And but if you don't know who your servicer is, you can actually go to nsldf.ed.gov and you can create an account or log in with your existing account, and they'll actually tell you where all of your federal student loans are being serviced if you don't know.
Awesome. So, Joe, thank you for that, Lanise, because that was great, because a lot of people think they could just walk up and say, here's my application. So that was a good one. But, Joe, so when it comes to the repayment side, I really want to get to this repayment question. When it comes to the repayment question, can I just pay, because we talked about interest earlier, but can I just pay the principal? What if I don't want to pay any interest? What if I just want to pay $1,000 directly to what I borrowed, not what you tacked on? Is that possible?
Only in a certain very particular instances. So the first instance is what they deem a borrower cancellation payment. So pretty much canceling out the original debt that you borrowed. And you would have to make a payment of this type within 120 days of that loan becoming a loan or originating. So if you, that's about, what, 4 months. So you have about 4 months since that loan, or since you start school, or however you want to look at it, to make a payment that will go strictly towards your principal balance and not touch any interest that has already accrued. Another instance is if you're making a monthly payment on a regular basis, so you're making, let's say, a $50 payment or $150 payment every month, if you want to make an extra payment, because if you're not on an income-driven plan, that $150 payment is already including your monthly accrued interest. So as long as you haven't gone on one of those forbearances and not paid your interest, if you make a $150 payment, and let's say you come into some money for 1 month and want to make an extra $100 payment, that extra $100 is also going strictly towards your principal balance.
Awesome. So within the first 120 days, if you make a payment to the loan that was originated to you, it would automatically wipe out that amount that you paid.
Exactly, and not touch any of that accrued interest already.
Awesome. So we do have two questions on Twitter that I do want to ask both of you. I'm going to address one to you, Lanise, and one to you, Joe, before I let you guys go today. So I am going to start with you, Joe. Somebody asked, simple, what is a promissory note? Somebody keeps talking about a promissory note, and I have no clue what that is. So what is a master promissory note, Joe?
A master promissory note is pretty much your contractual agreement that you took out a student loan. So when you go and do your FAFSA process and they tell you, hey, we're going to give you $10,000 in loans, we're going to give you $5,000 in scholarships, and we're going to give you $2,000 in grants. You now have to obligate yourself to that $10,000 in student loans. So they're going to ask you to fill out what they call a master promissory note. And on that note, the school has put on there, hey, this is the amount of time she's going to school for. This is the amount of time that I'm allowing her to pay me back for. This is the amount of money that I'm giving to her. And these are the terms of this loan, pretty much the interest rate, things like that. And that's pretty much your contract. That's you saying, hey, I agree to pay back that $10,000 on top of the 6.8 interest rate that's going to be accruing on a daily basis. And if I don't, now I'm on the hook for it for somebody else in even more severe repercussions.
So you sign a master promissory note every time you take out a loan? So every year I go
Correct.
And sign one?
Yep.
Wow. So I just signed about 4 to 5 contracts with the federal government?
Yeah, unfortunately.
They don't even tell you this stuff, Joe. They just be like, sign here. You're like, all right, cool, I can go to class now. Like, that's crazy. And Lanice, the second question that we got on Twitter was, why is my school requiring me to complete an exit interview?
Well, the exit interview, that's what the federal government requires for the federal student loan. It's pretty much something that your servicer gets part of. It lets them know, like, well, it lets you know, for instance, your repayment options. You can choose from there what type of repayment plan you want. Although your servicer gets that information, but it's not like if you fill that out, that's the plan you're stuck with. That's just so when you go into repayment, you already would have been given your options. Your servicer would have something to start you off with. But it's just pretty much a way to, you know, have you as a consumer, as a student, as the borrower, to know, you know, this is what's going to happen. Your loan will be in grace. You'll come into repayment. These are the options you have. So it's just kind of another way that they can say, we told you what your options are. And you can at least have something, something to reference, and that, you know, your servicer can reference, and that, you know, the federal government can reference that said, well, you signed off on this. You were given what your options are. So when you're going back into repayment in 6 months, this is what's going to happen.
Okay, because I bet a lot of people didn't know that, because I didn't know that at all. I know I filled out an exit interview, but I didn't know that's what it was for. I thought it was just saying that I completed school, I'm done, and I'm not taking out any more loans.
Has less to do with, you know, your schooling, but more to do with you understanding your obligations to pay your loan back, and like I said, what options you have when you go into repayment.
Thank you for that, because I personally didn't know that. We do have to wrap up this episode today here on Revive, so I am going to start with you, Joe. Please give yourself a shout out. Let the people know where they can find you, you know, for any more consultation, anything like that, any email, anything that you want to give out, please do so. And also, before you do that, can you just give out simple advice? What is one simple advice that you would give to someone who is, you know, going into the repayment now and also entering college at this point?
Like I said, you know, one thing that came to mind when I talk about when I think about student loans is, you know, it's a scary process. So don't be scared. You know, be informed is the biggest thing. If you do have federal student loans, make sure you know who your student loan servicer is. Because there are a lot of companies out there trying to capitalize on people's, you know, for lack of a better term, ignorance of their student loans. So they're, you know, they're out there soliciting, telling you need to pay certain amounts for things that happen. And, you know, with the federal government, a lot of that stuff you really don't have to pay for. You can just call your servicer and they'll take care of it for you. So definitely be informed. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's what the student loan servicers are there for.
Dope. And how can people find you, Joe?
Well, I'm fresh to this this social media thing, so you can find me at my email solutions.at.je.m@gmail.com.
You gotta get that to us one more time, Joe. I was even trying to take it down. Like, what did he just say?
So it's solutions, SOLUTIONS. They got a period. You got the word at, A-T, another period, my first two initials, which are J-E, your final period, and then you have an M.
Why are you confusing us, Joe? Why you got all them periods, and then you going to put an at, really? You going to put the A-T, Joe? Because as soon as you say at, we think in the symbol. Why are you confusing us?
Right. That's why I got to make the distinction.
Awesome.
But yeah, reach out to me. Definitely send me questions, things like that. I'm working on a social media page, so, you know, I'm trying to get some content. So the more questions I get, the more I can put out there and have you guys more informed.
Awesome. And I thank you for coming onto the Revive platform today, Joe, and educating, because you definitely educated me today. I appreciate that. You dropped some gems and a plethora of knowledge. I appreciate that one today.
No, thanks so much for having me. It was a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Lanice, what about you? Go ahead and give yourself a shout out. But first, before you do that, please let the people know what advice you can leave them with today.
Well, the only advice that I can give is, just like Joe said, educate yourself. Knowledge is cliche as it is, knowledge is definitely power. And student loans, while they can be scary, it's not at all as intimidating as it seems. Once you familiarize yourself with your options, it becomes a lot less stressful and your life can go a whole lot easier once you make yourself aware of your options as a student, as a borrower. And also I would want to say too, just always ask your schools, you know, if there are any scholarships or grants that they give out, just so you don't have to take out as many loans. A lot of people don't know that there are a lot of grants that schools just give away, even if it's $500 here, $1,000 there. It's definitely another alternative to explore trying to finance your education.
I agree with you for that. It's money out here. It's definitely money out here. These schools are making $50,000 from one student. You have to know that there's a check out there because it's about
Absolutely.
It's about 50 students in your homeroom class. So you have to know that each person is worth $50,000. So you have to know that that school has enough money to give back to you. Fill out that piece of paper.
Absolutely.
Write that two-page paper. It's important that you do. It may take a little bit
write
of time, but write that essay. Or you
going
to be like me on the other end of this mic, like, yo, teach me what's going on, because I'm like 60 in debt right now, and I'm still trying to go back to school, but I'm scared. You know what I mean? I'm scared, because I'm trying to get a house too, though. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different things that play a part when it comes to student loans, because like we said, student loans do not go away. They stay with you forever. Bankruptcy, whatever. Don't follow the Donald Trump. Don't follow Donald Trump, because you're still going to have them. You're still going to have them student loans out there. But thank you, Lanice, once again for coming onto the Rabat platform and just supporting us. We really do appreciate it. Do you have an email that you would like to give out for anyone who may have any questions for you?
Sure. My email is just my first name, Lanice, L-E-N-I-S-E. And my last name, Lockley, L-O-C-K-L-E-Y, at Gmail. I don't do Twitter, unfortunately.
And I was just talking about that early on the show, like, why people don't do Twitter. Before we go, for real, because we do have to go, why don't you do Twitter? Please tell me, why don't you do Twitter?
I don't know. I never got into Twitter. I just don't know. I miss that with all the Facebooks and Instagrams. I miss that one.
Well, I'm encouraging you to create a Twitter and make sure you go follow the Revive platform. We have a lot going on. And if you want to know what's going on with the Revive team, you need to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Revive_POC. And that's to you too, Joe, if you're still out there listening. Make sure you go follow the Revive platform. I appreciate both of you guys coming on today. Thank you, Lanice, once again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one. So once again, that wraps up another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. We come live each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, True Heart, for that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth series today, Growing Pains. Get through it. Get through the adversity. Once you kick down the door, once you get in that room, it's up to you. It's up to you to deal with it. It's up to you to make sure that your dreams come true. Make sure that your dreams become your reality. Deal with it. How I'm dealing with it, I'm about to go catch this flight. I'm about to go take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to me. I will be in the environment of the BET experience this weekend. I am going to LA. I am going to see Charlamagne the God. I am going to go knock on that door like, Charlamagne, what's up? It's me, your girl, POC. I'm trying to get like you. I'm trying to be better than you. I'm trying to kick down these doors. Teach me the way. Teach me how to do it. I'm going to jump out there to make sure I take advantage of each and every opportunity that I get. I'm going to LA. I'm about to catch this flight. I'm about to hop off this mic. Grab my bag and go. I'm in a rush, definitely in a rush. So thank you for everyone who's out there supporting the Revive platform. I'm going live all weekend. You guys are going to experience this BET experience with me. I'm going live all weekend. So make sure you stay tuned to the Revive platform on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, follow us at Revive_POC. While I'm out there, I'm trying to get 200 people on board, because we're trying to get 1,000 followers here on Revive before June 30th. So make sure you spread the word, spread the message that we are live.
alive. Revive is alive. But that does mean that I will not be live this Sunday. Let me put that out there. Once again, PSA, Revive will not be live this Sunday, June 25th. Why? Because I will be in LA. Hopefully you will see me on the red carpet of the BET Awards, because I'm trying to work my butt off so I can get on that carpet to do some media this Sunday for the BET Awards. It's important that you guys support the Revive platform, because we are growing, we are thriving, and we're doing everything that we can to make sure that you guys have the information that you need. Trust me, we are. Once again, rest in peace, Philando Castile. Rest in peace, Alton Sterling. Rest in peace, Tamir Rice. Rest in peace, Sandra Bland. Rest in peace, man. We gotta find solutions. We gotta find solutions. We gotta find solutions. You know what time it is. It's your girl, POC. Make sure you stay tuned to the timeline. I'm coming live all weekend.